you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Jesus said to them, when you pray, pray like this. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. That is from Luke chapter 11, verses 2, 3, and 4. Well, hello there, and welcome to Thursday. My name is Joey Kroll, and today, of course, is the National Day of Prayer. It is Thursday, May the 3rd, 2012, and I don't know if you've been seeing on the news, maybe, hearing from other brothers or sisters, maybe heard from people at church last night, that today is the National Day of Prayer. It is the one day out of the entire year that Congress recognizes this day as the National Day of Prayer. Now, there's the National Day of Prayer Task Force, and Shirley Dobson, married to James Dobson, is the chairman of the task force this year. And the main theme for the National Day of Prayer is from Psalm 33, verse 12. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen and amen. I know several places today recognizing the National Day of Prayer. Our good friends at the Hope Center in Urbana, we'll be having a National Day of Prayer event today from noon until 1:30, so feel free to just swing on by the Hope Center in Urbana, 1802 North Lincoln, to just pray maybe over your lunch hour and so forth. Parking is available at the Hope Center in Urbana from noon until 1:30, 1802 North Lincoln in Urbana. Also, for our friends in Indiana, the Otto Bean United Methodist Church will be having a prayer event today as well at 12 noon. They are located at Highway 59, just 2 miles south of Route 36 near Rockville, Indiana. Lots of events happening within our area today for the National Day of Prayer. So this is the one day that Congress, our government, recognizes as an event to pray. We should be taking advantage of this as Christians. Amen. We should really be taking advantage of this. And now maybe you're listening to the rebroadcast tonight, and those events already passed, obviously. You can still have the National Day of Prayer in your home. Maybe initiate with your spouse or your family and say, here's what we're going to do. Today is a day that everybody pray. So we're going to pray today. So I highly encourage you to take advantage of this day and show Congress, hey, you know what? We're real about this prayer. It works. God hears us. This is communication with the Lord. This is the same exact stuff our country was founded on. And we're going to celebrate it today on this National Day of Prayer. Do you remember when Franklin Graham, a couple of years ago, I think it was maybe about 2 years ago, was the honorary chairperson of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, and he was invited to speak at the Pentagon. And he made some comments about Christ, and people in the media, they just blew it up and so forth, and they did not like that. So he was uninvited to speak at the Pentagon for the National Day of Prayer. Well, our good friends at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has this commercial out about preaching the word and praying. Check this out.
Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Buddha didn't die for your sins. There is no one in all of history to take your sins. Only one, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Evangelist Franklin Graham, the honorary National Day of Prayer Task Force chairman, will not be speaking at the Pentagon as had been planned.
The minister cannot lead prayers at the Pentagon.
An Army spokesman insists it was Graham's controversial views that got him tossed.
To stifle religious speech.
Another attack on religious freedom.
There is a cost to following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a price to be paid. We cannot compromise. We cannot back up. We cannot retreat. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be preached to the ends of the earth. That's what he's called us to do.
Every person that accepts Christ will have that hope of eternal life. I love people of other faith. I want them to know that their sins can be forgiven because it's Jesus Christ who took our sins. He died on a cross. He shed his blood for me, for you, everyone watching. I serve a God who I don't have to die for him. He died for me.
There is Holy Spirit-filled power in the gospel. And there are going to be people that will laugh at you That's all right. Laugh at me. There's going to be people that will mock you. Go ahead, mock me. To those that are not being saved, it is foolishness. But to those that are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Holy Spirit power. He uses that to pierce right into a person's heart. He uses it. All we have to do is deliver it. Preach it. Preach it. Preach it. Never back up. Never retreat. Even if preaching the gospel someday becomes against the law, we're going to preach it.
Amen and amen. Today is the National Day of Prayer. Take advantage of those opportunities today. Our devotion coming up here in just a bit will be, of course, on prayer, coming up right after this on Great News Radio. Great News Radio. Hello there. Happy Thursday. My name is Joey Kroll, and since today is, of course, the National Day of Prayer, we're going to be focusing today on prayer, communication with God. So our devotion today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham. Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Now, let me just pause here really quick. Just because somebody did something in the Bible does not necessarily mean it's okay. So, we just read here that Elkanah had two wives. He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. So, just because he had two wives does not mean it's okay to have two wives. In Genesis, it talks about how a husband and wife will become one flesh. So, God's initial plan was not for this man to have two wives, three wives, four wives, but to have one wife. So just because somebody did something in the Bible does not necessarily mean it's okay in God's eyes. You know, just like Cain. Cain killed Abel. So is murder okay? No, it's not. So I just want to clarify that. And there's a lot of people out there who do promote polygamy, say it's okay because Abraham had multiple wives and so forth and so forth. But just because somebody did something in the Bible does not necessarily mean it's okay in the eyes of God. Back then, men married more than one wife for several different reasons. It was socially accepted. You know, today we have several things that are accepted in our society, which is totally contrary to the word of God. Well, back then, the men wanted to produce more of their offspring to help with their work and the work on the farm or wherever, and to also assure continuation of the family line. Also, numerous children were a symbol of status and wealth. Polygamy became an accepted way of supporting women back then who otherwise would have been remained unmarried. Nevertheless, polygamy often cause serious family problems, and we're going to read of some of those problems here in a second. Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other one was Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival, also known as Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on for year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival, which was Peninnah, provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli, the priest, observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought that she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking beer or wine. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And Eli the priest answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for." Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord and went back to their home. Then Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked the Lord for him." And the name Samuel actually means "the Lord has heard." And that's why she named him Samuel. She knew that God answered her prayer. This woman was so distraught because, one, not only her husband's wife, if that makes any sense, not only her husband's other woman was making fun of her and provoking her and irritating her and making fun of her that she could not have babies, the fact that she couldn't have babies was hard for her. And women today who can't have babies know the anguish of what this woman is going through, to the point where she prayed year after year after year that the Lord would remember her and give her a child. Give her a son. See, friend, a lot of people think, and sometimes I get caught up in this, that, you know what, I'm going to pray one time, and if God doesn't answer it, then therefore he doesn't want me to have this, or whatever you're praying about. But this woman, she prayed year after year. Did not give up. She was persistent. She poured out her heart to God, to where the priest thought that she was drunk, that she was praying so hard. See, when Paul in the New Testament, he said he had a thorn on his side, and we don't know what that thorn was, but he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take the thorn out of his side. Not once, not twice, but he prayed three. He was persistent. You know, I have a pastor friend of mine several years ago told the story that God gave him a dream one night, and in this dream Jesus led him to a big old building, like an old factory. And Jesus led him into this factory in this dream. And he opened up the door, and there were a whole bunch of shelves from ceiling to floor and from side to side. I mean, this entire building was full of shelves. And on these shelves were body parts There were legs, there were limbs, there were toes, there were ears. There was a whole bunch of body parts. And in this dream, Jesus said to my pastor friend, said, look around. You see all this stuff? This is for my children. This is all for my children. All they have to do is ask, and I will give it to them. In James 4, it says, you have not because you've asked not. So friend, pray consistently. Ask God, be persistent. Ask God for that thing over and over again until you know in your heart that He told you yes, no, not now, later, until you know in your heart He gave you that answer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be persistent. Be just like Hannah, who prayed year after year and celebrated after God answered her prayer by calling her son, God has heard. We're talking about prayer today on this National Day of Prayer.
Come, let us worship and bow down anew before the Lord, our Maker. Let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
You are listening to Great News Radio. Well, happy Thursday. My name is Joey Kroll, and thank you so much for letting me hang out with you today. And don't forget to take advantage of some of those National Day of Prayer events happening today. And our good friends at the Hope Center in Urbana will be having a National Day of Prayer event, 1802 North Lincoln, to just pray maybe over your lunch hour and so forth. Parking is available at the Hope Center in Urbana from noon until 1:30. Also, for our friends in Indiana, the Otto Bean United Methodist Church will be having a prayer event today as well at 12 noon. They are located at Highway 59, just 2 miles south of Route 36 near Rockville, Indiana. Maybe you're listening in the rebroadcast tonight, and most of those events are over with, but you can still celebrate the National Day of Prayer, because praise God, we don't have to kill a goat to talk to God. We don't have to climb a mountain and spend time with Moses to pray to God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have a mediator. And his name is Jesus, that provided this open door of prayer and communication with the Father. Amen and amen. Friend, you enjoy the rest of your day. And don't forget Mark Burns in the studio tomorrow with Mark and Friends tomorrow morning right here on Great News Radio. In the meantime, remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your day.